This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Surprise and Texas Rangers spring training. We're going to talk with Kevin Pillar in just a minute. Well, I guess we already talked with him. We'll play that interview in just a minute. But I wanted to ask you this. I believe Sean McFarland has an article up with the Dallas Morning News talking about all the options that the Rangers have available to bat third. And we talked with Bruce Bochy about that yesterday, and he said, look, there's going to be a lot of shifting in spring training. That's part of what he's working on in spring training. But is it Wyatt Langford that you think should be number three? And if not, who else would you want to see in that mix? Because I think Marcus Semien, Jock Peterson,
look,
you could shift things around quite a bit.
I would love for Josh Jung like to be as good of a hitter as I know he's got some power, he's got some pop, but he's at his best when he's driving doubles into gaps. Like that really is what I think you're seeing alive, Josh Jung. I would love for him to be the option there, but it does feel like they want him a little further behind because of youth and because also he's, you know, been missing for a large part of the seasons last couple of years.
So I think Langford's the guy once he gets healthy, as long as Semien's your leadoff guy.
Okay. Can you break down why that specific pairing would go together then?
Well, if Semien's not your leadoff guy, I think Langford's your leadoff guy. So
agreed.
Then that takes him out of your three-hole situation. Now, here's another thing you have to look at. Seager is a slow base runner and also intentionally slow so he doesn't get hurt. If I put Josh Jung at third, I'm not opposed to that, Corey, but now I have two slow guys next to each other, and
but
I don't know how they like stacking
They're just going to trot around the bases when Adolis hits it out.
Maybe so. I wonder if you asked Boach, how much do you look at your lineup based off of your speed components and go, I don't want Seager and Jung back-to-back because of how slow they are together, because that's two base cloggers.
But if I have Wyatt right behind him, I can't take advantage of his speed unless, let's say, Seager hits a double, and now when Wyatt gets on, he's moved him to third, because otherwise he's running up his back.
Yeah,
so
I don't know.
That's with all that speed. So
Jock Peterson's not a fast runner.
Mm-mm.
So Jock could bat third, but
Jake Berger.
If you have, I don't know if Berger, because if you look at his on-base percentage, it's so low.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want a guy that has that low of an on-base percentage batting third. So I would say Langford, Jung, maybe Evan Carl. He did in the playoffs.
Is there a concern, though, about maybe how often you'd have to shift him out of third against left-handed pitchers?
For sure.
Yeah, and I mean, that kind of comes down to...
But he did bat third yesterday.
Dadgummit, we didn't ask Boach this yesterday. I wanted to. How are you have a left-handed lineup and a right-handed lineup, and how different does that look? How similar? does it look? Because if it is just the matter of moving one batter out and moving another guy into the same spot, then it's fine. But if you have to reshuffle everything, that's a completely different thing. So
because the idea is, and Boach talked about it yesterday, and this is just like some fundamentals of baseball. You'll see a lot of changes with the lineup in spring training, in part because of who's actually playing, but also to test some things out. But like once you hit the regular season, you would love to have your lineup set and set for hopefully a really long time.
I would at least say the first three guys, right?
Yeah.
Is that if you're healthy, you start the year with Semien, Seager, and then Lankford, and you worry about the rest is the rest. Now, I know 4, 5, 6 are very important spots in your lineup, too. He talked about yesterday, one of the reasons 23 was so successful is the bottom of the lineup kept getting on
base
for Semien to have 100 RBIs. The only way Semien has 100 RBIs is your 7, 8, and 9-hole guys are getting on base for Semien to have RBI opportunities. So you look at it and go, yes, every spot is important, but the reason that everybody stacks 1 and 2 together as your two best hitters now is because over 162 games, you think they'll get 20 to 30 more at-bats over a season. So it just makes 4, 5, and 6 not as important as 1, 2, and possibly 3. But, man, I hope that it is Semien, Seager, Lankford, and you don't have to mess with it. Because if you're messing with it a lot, that means things aren't working out well.
That's interesting. And maybe we have another conversation where we dive back into, or maybe we just don't want Semien to be the leadoff, and let's just reconstruct a new lineup.
We're supposed to have Semien today.
Yeah.
I just talked to the Rangers PR, and we're working on that. One of the things I want to ask him is, what is your approach always the same? Because when you start a game, is your approach, I'm going up there and I'm just hitting the first pitch I see? Is it, I got to work the pitcher? And does it change, Mike, after the first go through in the lineup? Now, maybe you're hitting second in the inning as opposed to first in the inning. Do you change that? Because I do want to kind of dive in on the way he thinks when he gets to the plate. He might have answers that, look, Boach told me this is what we want out of this. And everybody's been upset at Semien for it, but maybe it is the philosophy on the way they go about it. We grew up with the guy that goes up first needs to get about 7 pitches out of a pitcher. 5 would be great, but 7 would be even better because now you've made him pitch more. You've gotten to see more pitches from him. You've made him have to work harder.
Yeah, and just get on base, right?
Yeah.
Your job is to get on base for my guys to knock you in, but nowadays a lot of them are like, no, just hit a home run to start the game.
Yeah, I mean, then you can cut out the middle, man. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, Corey said his mission today was to get to and talk to Kevin Pillar. We made it happen. Here it is on The Fan.
All right, we got Kevin Pillar here joining us on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I've never really forgiven you for being such an irritating player when you were with Toronto, but you were so good and it was irritating. Did you know that?
Yeah, I would imagine there was players on other teams that could get annoyed of me making plays. You know, as a hitter, you hate to see it happen to yourself. And, you know, there's a point in my career where I felt like I was doing it daily, so I could imagine how that could be annoying.
Well, we did forgive Bochy for beating us in the World Series, so I'm sure you win a World Series, we'll forgive you, all right?
Yeah, I imagine that's probably a little bit more painful. So, and yeah, I mean, him coming in first year and winning one for this organization probably made it a little easier.
We've actually never had the opportunity to talk to somebody that was on the other side of that whenever all of that was going down. What was that experience like when Rangers, Blue Jays, the chaos that was going on in that stadium that day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been able to go back a couple times and kind of watch the series in the entirety. It's kind of the thing I do when I have my when my wife's pregnant, I'm in the hospital, and I'm waiting on her to...
So you aren't Netflixing. You're like,
no.
Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's times where, you know, you're either it's before the baby comes out or when the baby comes out, you're sleeping on this little hospital bed or little cot, and you're just... You know, I guess mostly when I had my first kid, because it was kind of right in that time frame, I was still in Toronto. You know, all that stuff was still kind of new, but there's cool ways to go back and kind of watch the entire series, each game being like 30 minutes, just like a very fast version of it, and just kind of reliving that whole series. It was just wild. You know, the fact that I mean, we were pretty much unbeatable after the All-Star break, after the additions we had made. And then, you know, Blue Jays hadn't been in the playoffs since early 90s. You know, we win a division. You know, we host the first two games of the playoffs and we go down 0-2. And then obviously going to Texas and just kind of take care of business, get it back to game five, and just everything that kind of happened and transcribed during that game. You know, I just remember Cole Hamels being pretty much unhittable. I think he gave up a solo homer to Eddie, gave us a little bit of life. You know, it was back and forth. And then obviously the seventh inning unfolded. You know, obviously starting with the ball off the bat play that, I mean, you guys have probably been in this industry for a long time. Yeah. I've been playing for a long time. Wasn't really sure of the rule.
Right, yeah.
And to kind of learn about the rule in that moment, in that magnitude of a game, to go down by a run in the seventh inning, you're like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then just to think what happened after, you know, the ground ball to short. Yeah. I came up next. I had a ground ball to first. You know, the missed throw at second. Then the miss played the bunt. And then there was the blooper. And then obviously the home run. Like, just talk about the polar opposites of emotions, where it's already so the intensity and the emotions already so high going into an elimination game like that, and then to lose the lead on a play that happens millions of times a year, the throwback to the pitcher from the catcher for it to hit the bat and ricochet, and Odor to have the, you know, the heads up to just run home and touch home plate, and them counting that run, and then you know, to have him hit that home run. And you know, from that moment on, after he like hit the home run and the celebration, in our heads we knew it was over, because we knew the two guys we had pitching at the back end of the bullpen, Sanchez and Ozuna. Like, you know, it was over. It was just a matter of, you know, getting those last six outs. But you know, going out to center field, you're feeling pretty confident about, okay, we got these two guys pitching. And and then you kind of just fast forward a year, everything that kind of just happened over the course of, you know, between, you know, obviously the fight, and then playing Texas again in the playoffs, you know, kind of just going in, sweeping them real quick. It was just, it was a fun time to be part of that rivalry. It would be nice to be in a place long enough again to kind of feel the magnitude of a rivalry again.
To potentially make that happen, who is it on the Blue Jays or another team that you would really like to punch in the face to help amp that up?
I'm down to go anytime, anywhere.
I love it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I love it. So non sequitur about childbirth, since you brought it up, let me ask you this hypothetical situation that definitely didn't happen to me. If your wife is pushing and she says, I can't do it, and you grab her hand and you go, yes, you can, I believe in you. That's supportive, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Do you think it's fair if your wife, after the fact, said, you yelled at me while I was in the middle of childbirth, because that's what happened?
No, I don't think it's fair, but I'm sure your wife or my wife would probably remember it a little bit differently. But
yeah, that's fair.
We have different males in general have a different tone in their voice and way of what we think is motivating or encouraging can be seen as aggressive behavior or yelling. But hopefully whoever that happened to is they've moved on from it, and they're obviously just excited for you know, what happened after the fact.
We don't typically get to see batting practice and all that take place during spring training out on the field. Yesterday we were watching. It looked like you got clotheslined by the warning track at one point. What exactly happened out there yesterday?
Yeah, we were doing some outfield drills, and we're working on going back on balls to the wall, and I had those molded cleats on and a pretty hard warning track, and decided to put the brakes on, and I slipped and fell, and you know, it's not how I was hoping to get, you know, a little scraped up for the first time. Hopefully it was like a hustle double or something.
Yeah.
But it just makes me look tough around here, though.
There you go.
I know you want to make sure you're okay, but do you also bounce up hoping that maybe nobody else saw it, even though we all definitely did?
No, there was no, like, way people did not see it. It was right in the middle of the field. You know, that's one of those things you hope, we don't hope ever happens, but you would be a little bit more fortunate if it happened on one of those backfields. But of course, first day for me too, like getting out on the stadium field, really just trying to you know, kind of speed up you know, the learning curve a little bit for, you know, the time I missed. Like,
yeah,
really trying to like push myself, like put myself in game situations, trying to go like hard back on some fly balls, and you slip and fall, and then you kind of question, like, maybe I shouldn't, like, maybe I just go in the treadmill or something and get my cardio. I don't need to do it on the field.
Do you think that's why they call it Surprise Stadium? Because it really has.
There was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
It's just funny how it kind of foreshadowed that event, too. You know, I was talking to Evan Carter. We're talking about just like our cleats and stuff. And I'm like, I'm not a big mold guy. Like, normally I wear them in like spring, you know, when we're, you know, I want to get my feet comfortable to cleats, but I would never hit them because I don't like to slip. And then sure enough, you know, you go out there and slip.
Did he say, or did he give you a look?
He's like, yeah, he did. We talked about it. He's like, isn't that funny? We were talking about molded cleats? And I'm like, yeah.
But he did it in a really polite way, right? Like,
he's very nice. Yeah. Very polite guy. Very polite guy. Yeah, very nice.
I feel like even his trash talk is probably super polite.
Yeah, I can't even imagine him trash talking. So hopefully he'll start chirping here soon.
We also have been told you have chickens and llamas.
Yeah, chickens and llamas.
How is this, like, do you take care of them yourself?
Yeah, I have responsibilities, but obviously me being here now, my wife and my kids do them. Llamas don't really require a whole lot of maintenance, though. They pretty self-sufficient.
Okay.
What drew you to the land? Yeah.
I can't really tell you the real reason why but there's certain things that, certain requirements to have, in order to do certain things in the state of Texas. So
I'm just going to presume he lost a bet and now he has to raise llamas.
Yep.
So we'll just go
with
that.
I lost a bet and I have to raise llamas now.
Once again, a hypothetical situation that's definitely not about my wife. Let's say that she told people a long time ago she loves llamas. Now, everything people give her is llama-based. She doesn't know how to break it to them that, like, she likes llamas okay, but that's
she
not
love them.
Yeah, that's not what her life revolves around.
I think she just needs to be honest. Tell him, you know, enough is enough.
Agreed, Kevin Pillar. I've been saying that for a while now. There you go, Kevin Pillar. Did you love that interview?
That's a good interview.
Thank you.
I'll stop giving your wife llama beans.
That's... It's lima beans. And this is one of those that you really thought out and you thought was going to crush it, right? Mike is dying laughing right now.
Lima beans. You get it?
Yeah. Oh,
I
do.
Oh, yes.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Tell her how hot you think Caitlin Clark is.
On the card market.
Hot.
Coming hot. Next.
Oh, hot.
We're going to have a jam-packed expressway. We got Mike Likes It, perhaps Marcus Simeon, but also back to Mavericks Lakers.
All right.
Did you get any closure or did you just get mad all over again? Next on The Fan.
In the corner, Doncic for three, partially blocked. And that's going to be a foul. Count that. And one as Doncic gets to the basket.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Going to be a jam-packed expressway. But let me start with this. I want to go back to Mavericks and Lakers. And if you specifically want to talk about the game, we can definitely do that. But what I'm curious about is, because I know a lot of people were tuned in, were specifically tuned out of this game. If you did watch it, did you get any closure or did you just get mad all over again? Because I feel like, Corey, from most of the sentiment I saw, it felt like it made people madder watching the game than, not that they weren't mad, but maybe they hadn't been as mad and now seeing it all over again, they're like, I'm mad again.
Yeah, no, it reopened a wound. It's you got a little scab there and all of a sudden somebody comes and peels it off and you're like, dadgummit, I thought I moved on from this. I thought we were done with it. Because it was out of sight, out of mind, right? And the Mavericks had played, had some wins. You're like, okay, this is nice. So out of sight, out of mind, I don't have to worry about Luka. And now here he is right there in your face again. And there are certain things that he did in that game, passes that he made, that they went insane. There was a moment, Kevin, where he did shoot a three-point. Like that three that he shot was from really far away. There was one he shot from really far away going the other direction. And the whole L.A. crowd was like, oh, my God. Because Luka knows, if I put this one in from 45 feet away right now, this whole place is going to lose their damn minds.
Yeah.
And he's always been able to do that. And whenever it falls, it's the best feeling in the world. He knows that. He loves that feeling. And he did that last night. And for them, it's new. For Lakers fans, seeing what he's doing, the passes he makes, all these kinds of moments. And for us, it's like, yeah, we've been watching that, and that's what we've been cherishing so much this entire time was those things that he did. And again, you also saw some of the warts that you could take advantage of last night. Where
2.5 minutes in with the tech foul.
He gets his tech. He quits on defense. He's
awful
lazy
shooting
on, you know, certain things.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, so it's still the same Luka. Nothing really has changed, but I didn't feel like I got any closure. And I don't know when I'll get real closure, because we'll always have to face him at some point.
So from the 817, no closure, still hurts. April 9th will be the last game I watch. I assume, I forgot to double check this, but that's when the Lakers are in Dallas to play the Mavericks. From the 214, I got mad all over again. Fire Nico and get new owners. Luka looks sad when he was interviewed. All right, so let's go to cut number four, and this is Luka in the postgame on the emotions of playing against the Mavericks.
Like I say, you know, it's a weird game, different game, but I can't even explain what kind of emotions were. Just a lot of emotions, you know, seeing the guys out there, seeing the guys I played. I went through a lot with the guys, so it was fun.
And then I know at one point he's also like, hey, I'm glad it's over. So I'm just,
but he's got to come to Dallas now too, right?
That's true.
And
but
so that really, I understand what
that's
that means.
True.
This one's done.
Yeah,
and we got through it. We, you know, the anticipation for it, the buildup in his own mind. I mean, hell, you saw what Jordan Brand did. They made a whole commercial to add to it. They did some other things.
Yes,
that
they did.
They took advantage of the publicity, and I imagine that the anticipation building up to it for him emotionally had to have been a wreck, and now he's done with it and can move on a little bit. But again, he does have to come to Dallas at some point, and that's going to, you know, open that up a little bit more again.
Well, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more when that gets closer, but I think the Mavericks fans are going to go crazy for him in the game. I know in the pregame they'll go crazy for him, and I hope Sean Heath can go all out on the announcement and everything like that, but I think Mavericks fans are going to be going crazy for him all game. Like, if he hits a three, even though they might be rooting for the Mavs, they're going to be there to cheer for Luka.
I want to reach
out. Hell, Laker games are usually 50-50 games anyways in your building without Luka being on the other team.
That
I think
is
it's
true.
Going to be an 80% pro-Laker crowd on April 9th.
Wow.
Pro-Laker slash
Luka,
pro-Luka
yeah,
crowd.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be, I mean, predominantly people rooting for the Lakers in that game.
Yeah. That's kind of hard to argue with. All right, from the, I get it, and this seems to be the prevailing wisdom. Made me feel that basketball is not as much fun to watch anymore, not just because of Luka, but because of the NBA in general. Mike, I know that's kind of where you have been at.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. It was my favorite sport to watch. I love watching football. I love watching baseball. But I don't really like the way that they've taken it to like an extreme and one situation. I obviously hate that I paid thousands of dollars in 2018-19 for a 10-game package that 50% of the games I went to, the players like, we don't want to play in this game, so we're sitting out. And that was now 7 years ago, and it's just gotten worse over time. So I understand that for me it's just not as fun. I get the playoffs can be awesome, but if I don't really engage in the regular season, it's tough for me to really like get super engaged in the playoffs. And this year, I guess what, the Mavs are the ninth seed right now?
Something like
that. Is
that
right? They'd play Sacramento, I think, in the 9-10 matchup. Like, all right, whatever.
I will say this, like the brand of basketball that I saw with Anthony Davis on the court for the three quarters that he was there, because that's what happens to his body. For those three quarters, that was a fun brand of basketball. Like you saw, it was a different version of the Mavericks. Because it was an edgier defensive type team.
Yeah.
Had, what, 18 blocks in that game, and that was only three quarters of Anthony Davis?
I do not recall.
PJ had three. Like, everybody was going after it. And so I was excited about what the future of that was going to look like. So that kind of drew me in was, oh, man, if this is the offense that I'm getting out of Anthony Davis, and this is what, because he was doing the I'm here and all that stuff, that gets exciting. That is a draw for me as a Mavericks fan because I do root for the Laundry. But that was an exciting thing that can happen. So if one player leaving and another one coming in, you kind of were like, oh, this is a different brand of basketball that we get to see from this team.
From the 214, the Mavericks couldn't shoot when it counted last night and missed layups. And then from the 817, if we had centers healthy, we would have whooped their ass. Still not a fan of the trade, though. And like
1,000%.
I just don't think the outcome of the game last night was, and this seems weird.
Was what mattered?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a weird statement
to
make?
It's a regular season game. And
I realize that the Mavericks need to pile up as many wins as they can to, you know, potentially even stay in the top 10 or have a more advantageous spot in the play-in tournament. But it feels like all of that was secondary last night to, like, more specifically, how would Luka play? How would the Mavericks react? And then we go to something like Kyrie Irving. And I know if we hit up, I believe it's cut number 6, What was it like going up against Luka? Because Kyrie has talked pretty openly since this happened about how strong of a bond like those two had, and then he had with the team.
Awkward as it was awkward, but you know, now I could talk about the emotions. Yeah, no, it was awkward, but at the same time, it was fun. You know, we got a chance to, you know, feel like we were in practice all over again, going at each other. You know, that was a good reflection point. And then just, you know, seeing the crowd cheer for him and just get him going and see him make some of the tough shots that I've seen him make thousands of times. That's probably made it even more awkward. But, you know, it was fun. It was fun competing. A lot of high-level basketball players out there, a lot of high-level plays. You know, high IQ plays. It's what you want to be a part of as a competitor. And you could tell J.J. Redick was trying to prepare the guys emotionally, especially Luka. And I feel like he handled himself well. You know, it was a good show out in L.A. against, you know, two good teams.
I thought it was a fun game to watch because of the elevated atmosphere. But It seems like most of the people, this just kind of like, I don't know if this is the right analogy, but like you had a really tough breakup and you know that it's because the other person was cheating. And then you've like not moved on, but like you've started to try to get back in the regular flow. And then you go out for dinner or whatever and you see them together.
It would be like me looking over and seeing you doing a radio show with somebody else. And I'd be like, why the hell?
Never.
Why the hell did that happen? Like, what went wrong?
Mike
and
likes it.
Here I am, here I am looking over and seeing like the dude that I know a lot about his heart and soul. I know what's going on there, and somebody else is getting to enjoy that friendship right now. And that is a bond on the court. Whenever you're, you know, playing sports with a team, you get to grow with people. You anticipate things about them. You start knowing and thinking alike. And that was something that I know Kai thinks is, he thinks is on a much deeper level than basketball. There's just so much more that goes into it. That being said, on the court, you saw Luka the first time he saw Kai was on him. And Kai, the first time Luka was on him defensively, they both wanted after each other.
Dude, I know that, man.
They both wanted to beat each other.
I agree with that. Like, he, you know, you kind of hike the shorts up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You get in that stance, and he was ready for that.
Kai moved fast. Like, once he saw Luka's on me, I'm going right to the basket.
Obviously, I've been giving Luka crap today because he's shot really awful since he got with the Lakers. But in the first quarter, man, he had that look. I really did think he was going to hang like 40 on the Mavericks.
He had like 16 rebounds in the first quarter. That was wild.
And it was just boom, 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 boom. And I really thought that he was going to wear the Mavericks out all night. And that didn't happen. I know the Mavericks lost, but that didn't happen. But you see on the fan text from the 214, it was closure for me. I'm mentally ready to hate Luka and the Lakers. From the 214, his heart is broken. You can almost see him crying in some of those. And then from the 903, nothing changed for me. It just shows me that when we get our bigs back, and we will beat the Lakers because they only won by 8 points. So some people are like focused on how the game could have been different. Other people are focused specifically on Luka. Other people are focused on like, hey, I'm just still straight up mad at Nico. There's a lot of emotion that went into this game.
The one thing I didn't see, I don't know if you happened to see it. I know Mike didn't. Did you see any interaction that Luka had with Kidd? Because I never saw anything there, and I haven't seen it.
So.
Like, social media usually would just be like, hey, by the way, this is what just happened. But I wanted to see if they shook hands, if they said anything to each other, because Kid was told to stay away because that'll give away. Maybe you loved him and you wanted to keep him around or not.
Okay, is that the biggest mystery of this whole thing then? Because we've gotten a pretty good idea about Nico talking about defense and this being the better team and win now and blah, blah, blah. We've heard the owners talk about they seem fine with this trade. Is the biggest mystery now where exactly Jason Kidd stood on all of this? And like, there's nothing he probably could have done about it, but I do feel like people are curious if he's like, hey, I wish that you wouldn't, or if he's like, please God, no, or if he's like, I get your point.
It's like, okay, again, for example, Spittle is sitting there and he's just like, oh my gosh, KNC, these guys, they just wear me out. And he's complaining all the time. And then Purdy's like, all right, screw it, I'm getting rid of them. And they're like, hold on, I didn't mean for you to do that. I was just saying, like, I needed somebody to vent to. Maybe that was what was going on with Kidd. And I don't know, man. I think there was a lot more behind the scenes that we still don't know about.
I'm going to
Go ahead.
The standard that some fan that you were talking about was like, well, we're better than the Lakers if we're completely healthy. The Lakers aren't the standard in the Western Conference.
Nope.
So, maybe in a seven-game series, maybe the Mavs are better than the Lakers today if you have Gafford, Lively, and Anthony Davis all completely healthy with all your other guys completely healthy. But the Lakers aren't the standard. So what does it matter that you're better than the fourth or fifth best team in the Western Conference?
So I think some people would argue, because of how well they've been playing, there are people out there who think, I'm not one of those people, that think the Lakers are the second best team in the West. I want to make it clear, I am not one of those people, but I think there are some folks who think that. I wanted to throw this out there real quick, since you were talking about Jason Kidd, Corey. This is cut number five. This is Jason Kidd talking about Luka and how he did in the game.
No, I thought he was he picked his spots. He was able to find his teammates. He was Luka. He drove it, made plays, and then also finished. Probably had some looks that normally goes down for him, but he fills up the stat sheet like no other player. So I think he had a triple double, and again he can find his teammates, and his teammates delivered tonight.
He said all the right things there. He talked about everything that Luka does on the court, things he does well, and things that he did on that night. He didn't talk about any other things in that moment that like bleed into their relationship. But that was very smart of him, and that's how Jason Kidd is. He's very, very thoughtful when it comes to that.
Look, I got to tell you, I am still really irritated about how this trade went down. I feel like, at least I'll just say for me, regardless of if the Mavericks don't win any games and fall off a cliff and everything like that, April 9th, that third to last game, it's a home game against the Lakers. Who knows? It could mean a lot for the Mavs. It could mean absolutely nothing for the Mavs. But I feel like that emotional charge is going to go just to the next level, because so many of those people who are texting this in or hitting us up on YouTube or on Twitch, they're going to be there or they're going to be outside the arena or whatever. That is going to be an emotionally charged situation where, once again, it feels like basketball might kind of be secondary in that day.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely going to be the case.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
I'm going to continue that segment for just a minute here, and just not watching the game and listening to you guys talk about it, hearing the interviews, hearing the highlights. I haven't even seen highlights. I can't do it. I'm sad now.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people listening to the show right now are sad like I am, because there's no getting him back. There's no take backs. It's over, and it just makes me sad, because it's like this horrible dream that the Mavericks put us into reality, that I can't get over it. I can't get over that they decided that the toughest thing to get in this league is a superstar.
Yep.
A generational player.
You can get all the pieces of a puzzle on an NBA team. If you do not have the superstar difference maker, all the other pieces in the end usually won't matter, because you're like, how do we trade five picks and three guys off of this team to get the generational player? Because, yeah, we have all this other stuff, but it doesn't matter. We can't beat, in his prime, we can't beat LeBron, or we can't beat Curry, or we can't beat Durant. We have to get that guy. And I get it. You could look at the Boston Celtics and say they don't have a generational talent. Well, good luck. You know, in back-to-back draft, drafting Jaylen Brown and then drafting Jason Tatum, and going, well, okay, they're both not top five or maybe top 10 players, but they're right outside the top 10. And then all the pieces we put around them are unbelievable, and we figured it out. I get it. You can do it that way. But I'm sad. I don't know how many people, I'm not on the text thing.
There are a lot of people sad, but I actually think the prevailing emotion ahead of that is mad. So yeah, I'm really still fascinated to hear that perspective.
I don't know the grieving steps. I was really mad. And I'm still mad about it, but that whole segment just made me depressed.
Okay.
Because I feel like one of the sports that I really liked and I followed, like, I'm one of those crazy people who know the ninth and tenth guys on other teams, you know?
You're almost there then, Mike, because the first step is denial, all right? then anger, then bargaining, then depression, and then acceptance.
Yeah.
So you're well, close
I'm in depression right now, listening to all that, knowing that, like, I just still can't believe they did that. I can't believe somebody as smart as I think Nico is. I'm not saying the kid owner guy is smart.
Yeah.
I don't think he is in basketball at all. I don't know what he's smart at. I'm sure he's very smart at something, but he has no clue about basketball. But Nico is, and we were giving him so much credit. And
we really did.
And to just do this, I'm just depressed that I just listened to that, and I knew it was going to happen, and that's why I couldn't watch, because I knew the sadness and depression, and there's no way I could be like my father or my friends that have just said, look, I guess I'm just a Lakers fan now. I just can't get to that state. There's
you
no
think purple
way
and gold don't go together.
I honestly think colors. Purple and gold's kind of a cool color combination. I cannot and will not ever be a Lakers fan. The only way I thought I could be is like near the end of Dirk's career.
Okay.
As the Mavericks were fading, the whole Rondo thing didn't work out. I was like, if for some reason it didn't make sense at that point, the Lakers were rebuilding with Russell and Ingram and Julius Randle and all of these picks that just weren't working out for him. Ball. I was just like, it didn't make sense at that point for Dirk to go to the Lakers, but that was maybe the only way I could ever root for the Lakers. But I feel like a lot of Mavericks fans, which are fine, I'm not saying you should or shouldn't, they do not have a problem just becoming a Lakers fan now, which I understand.
It's that apathy that you don't want as a business, as any business. Like, you don't want people to just be like, eh, and just fade away. And that definitely feels like something that the Mavericks fans are dealing with now and will have to deal with a lot in the offseason.
Okay, so yesterday we are staying really close to the facility, and I didn't know this, and I should. I mean, I'm looking freaking straight at it in kind of right center field. There's like a nice park and pond here.
Yeah.
That I took like an hour walk. My son was pitching yesterday varsity for Bishop Lynch, and obviously I couldn't watch it. So there's an app called Game Changer. I'm sure it's used for other sports, but I just use it for baseball.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can use it for softball and other sports. But you can follow the balls and strikes and runners on base. You can't see the game and the errors that are made or the hits. Like, how hard was that ball hit or how soft was that ball hit? Or, you know, should that play have been made or shouldn't it, have been made? But you get to follow it. So I'm following it and kind of cheering for my son walking around. But I also thought of this job, because it's become such a routine in my life. There's a point in my life where it got a little bit out of routine, where I was on G-Bag Nation. They went to the afternoon show, and Ben Skin dropped down to the midday show, and I went with the afternoon. And that was a big adjustment in my life and lifestyle of, instead of working middays, you're working, you know, afternoons and nights. But I was thinking, like, I'm used to routine in my life. Here we are in spring training. From at least the age of 18 on, I had this routine of baseball. And then pretty quickly, I went to the routine of radio. And now I'm about to lose that routine. So I was just thinking about all of these things that I'm excited about. And I'm not like sad or depressed. I don't want to put words on it that I'm not. But I was just thinking of, man, this is going to be a major life adjustment. I've thought about it. It wasn't yesterday was the first time, but I know that it's coming to a close. It's today, which is almost over now on the radio. And then there's Thursday and Friday, and then that's it. I'm literally, like, as far as I know, never going to be on the radio again. So I was just thinking about routines and how much I have had that in my life. And there's going to be a completely and totally different routine to my life, which is, you think about, and you're like, how is it going to go? How is the unknown going to go?
Yeah, that's tough, because and that's one of the reasons, not to get too sentimental here, I am really proud of you for taking this chance, because you could have been comfortable here and just been fine for a while, and instead you're taking a chance. Like, I think you're going to do great. We've already heard you do great the last year and a half or the last couple of years, but you are still taking a chance by going out and doing something totally different. So I think that's really cool.
What do you think? What do you have in your routine that would it, how shocking would it be for you guys Let's just say you stay in radio.
Yeah.
But if they moved you to the morning show or afternoon show.
Oh, man, that would change my life up a lot. Because right now I drop the kids off in the morning, pick them up after school. It's one of the coolest things because I have that opportunity to be around the kids. Whenever we were nights, I never got to put my kids to bed.
Yeah.
I very rarely got a chance to be around for a lot of things when we were weekends. I wasn't around on the weekends for a lot of things. So those things kind of, like, they change. Going in the morning or going in the afternoon would change a lot. Mike, my interest for you and how you handle things is whenever the season's over, how are you going to fill that window between seasons? That's what I'm interested in, is because I know you like golf, and I know you like the hot tub. But you can only do golf and hot tubs so much before I think you'll go a little mad and you'll be like, I need something else to do. So I'm very interested to see how you fill that time.
Yeah.
What your plans are going to be. Because I know you do some coaching and you do some private lessons. But,
yeah,
and stuff,
private lessons. I don't coach
different.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's very different. So I'm interested there. But yeah, man, I have a routine right now. It's been kind of kicked in the junk a couple times because of sickness, but I love this routine that I've been on.
I feel like people that are non-routine people, they're late for everything.
Yeah.
Like, they're honestly horrible to be around because you're just like, how can you not keep a schedule for anything? It drives me, like, I don't want to be your friend. Like, I can't ever count on you to actually be somewhere that you said you're going to be.
But you're not a good planner, right? Like, Sue's the planner of the house, right? Or did I get this wrong?
She makes sure the schedules, like, are up on a board. Like, I'm like,
and you follow it.
Yeah, but I'll figure out the day. Just things will shock me, you know. Like, wait, we have this tonight? We have to go out to dinner tonight here? She's like, I've told you this for the last, like, 3 weeks or 6 months.
Are you sure you did?
Had this. Like, yes. And I'm like, well, I'm working off of 24 hours. There's too much crap in my life to remember what is going to happen 3 weeks from now. Because literally, I know the first trip for the Rangers is to Cincinnati after playing Boston.
Okay.
I can't tell you the next trip.
Okay.
I can't tell you. I know they come back home and play.
Yeah.
But that's just kind of how I work, as in I need routine, but I also am not going to remember 2 weeks to 2 months from now what the thing is on the schedule.
Here is
like women are better at that.
Sometimes.
Adrian is better at it than I am, for sure.
Probably most times.
Yeah. And I think it's personality types are a certain way.
You know how women are.
Somebody did say,
yes, I know, PJ.
Thank you, PJ. Always love that. I'm going to miss Mike on air, but also bummed that he can't say fart knockers anymore. Have you confirmed with the Rangers?
I don't think they would appreciate me saying fart
not.
Knockers.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a lot of things that I want to say. Crap. Yeah. I say crap here all the time.
You can't say crap on the
I don't think so. Podcast. I don't say that's a crappy call. I think the Ranger would say, don't say crappy.
Mm-hmm,
say
mm-hmm.
bad. I disagree with that call.
What about Shlomo? Can you throw
that? Yeah, I don't think I'm going to say Shlomo Glickstein,
hey,
even though I didn't know that was a real
now,
person.
Shlomo Glickstein. Hey,
look, it's Hitty Magoo over there. You know? Like,
yeah.
Can you say that anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I have never said Magoo. But you know what? I only did 50-something games. We'll see. I'm doing 108 right now.
Yeah. Oh, man. So there's twice as much, more than twice as much opportunity. Yeah. From the 817, I will always blame Nico, not only for trading Luka, but for Mike leaving.
Oh, man. Yeah. That definitely.
I think the timing just worked out really well
for that.
I do not believe Nico was directly involved with the departure
of
Mike Bassett.
He's gotten a lot of blame for Mike leaving, though.
I get
it. I've seen it because you're right. The timing was, and we knew. Like, we already knew, and we were like, oh, no, this is bad timing now that this Luka thing's going down.
I don't want this whole segment just to be about me and my emotions about the Mavs and my emotions about, you know, going to the Texas Rangers. So I just want to send I got to be serious here. I just want to send out a huge congratulations to Diana Taurasi. What a career in the WNBA. And all of those WNBA games she played in, and all of those championships,
mm-hmm.
and all of those moments on the biggest stage. Congratulations to Diana Taurasi.
How many championships did she win, Mike?
She's going to be missed. In my worldview, she won all of them.
She won three.
She won three? I mean,
WNBA championship.
She played hard and she played long,
uh-huh.
and she did all of the great things. And nobody will ever forget.
She was
Diana
a Turkish
Taurasi's
National
career.
League champion, also.
That's true.
So wow, good gosh!
Hundreds of people went to those games.
Okay, you said you were going to be serious, and you threw that out.
Congratulations, Diana.
Jeez. We're the KNC masterpiece.
A whole lot of gold medals
right here.
She won gold
on 105.3 The Fan.
It's a great career.
All right, what? Tell me one team she played for.
U.S.
In the WNBA.
Phoenix.
What?
Mercury.
Damn
That was her rookie season, all the way through. Hold on, her career.
She only played for one team, Kevin, according to Wikipedia.
Good job, Mike.
On your face.
I did look. You're right, Alec. I did not think he was going to get that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.
How will the league survive? That's
the
question.
Fan. That is a great question. We probably won't get to that next, but maybe because it is time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
You know what? I got this question. What new sport have you had to learn because of someone you love? We'll do it next on The Fan.